Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the StudyClicks Explains Hamlet series. In this episode, StudyClicks expert teacher Peter Tobin brings you through everything you need to know about the imagery and symbolism present throughout the play. Peter Tobin is an English teacher who has a YouTube channel called Mr. Tobin Leaving Cert English, where you can find loads of free videos covering different parts of the Leaving Cert English course. We've linked his channel in the description, and we can't recommend enough that you check it out and subscribe to get updates on the new content he's making. In this episode, Peter is going to talk about how Shakespeare uses imagery and symbolism throughout Hamlet to convey underlying themes and moods. The next voice you're going to hear is Peter's, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
Shakespeare's plays are full of imagery and symbolism. It allows him to capture an idea, a concept, a mood or a feeling in a much more in-depth way and transmit them to an audience through patterns of images and symbols to great effect. We should always pay attention to images and symbols that reoccur and see what work they are doing. Many of the images that Shakespeare uses are taken from or refer to everyday things such as nature, disease, war, clothing. What's immediately obvious in Hamlet is the use of imagery linked to sickness and death, reflecting both the interior lives of some of the characters, but also the exterior world of Denmark. Hamlet's own viewpoint in the play is one dominated by sickness and disease. We see this mainly in Hamlet's speeches. Many of his descriptions of other characters include images of rottenness and corruption. He refers to Claudius as a mildewed ear blasting his wholesome brother. He talks to his mother of rank corruption mining all within. Hamlet believes that her marriage to her dead husband's brother takes off the rose from the fair forehead of an innocent love and sets a blister there. Other characters too use the same imagery. Claudius, when he hears of the death of Polonius, uses the image of someone concealing a disease they have to illustrate the idea that he should have dealt with Hamlet sooner. This disease, he says, feeds even on the pith of life. The idea of disease feeding on or consuming life, whether secretly or openly, is continued when Claudius talks of sending Hamlet to his death in England. He reflects that diseases desperate grown by desperate appliance are relieved. And similarly, Claudius compares the dangers of Hamlet's return to Denmark as that of an ulcer. Laertes too uses similar imagery when he talks about his sister's danger from Hamlet. The canker galls the infant of the spring, and both Hamlet and Gertrude use disease imagery in reference to Gertrude's sin. Hamlet says it will but skin and film the ulcerous place, whilst tank corruption mining all within infects unseen. And Gertrude says, to my sick soul as sin's true nature is. Contrasting the imagery of sickness, disease and corruption is that of the natural world and flowers. This imagery is particularly connected with Ophelia. In Act 4, Scene 5, Ophelia hands out flowers to those around her. Each of the flowers has symbolic significance. While Ophelia herself is the Rose of May, she hands out rosemary, that for remembrance, pray, love, remember, and there is pansies, that's for thoughts. The one most likely given to Claudius, fennel and columbines, represent flattery, deceit and disloyalty. All of these representations and symbols are important, and Ophelia, probably the only innocent in the whole play, is deliberately linked to flowers, almost as a kind of antidote to the sickness and disease that inhabits the thoughts of the other characters and Denmark as a whole. What a pity then that she is one of the innocent victims, a voiceless victim that is claimed by the actions of those around her. There are, of course, lots of other images that reoccur throughout the play. There are images that refer to the idea of appearance versus reality. These are closely associated with clothing images. We have war imagery too, which closely relates to the atmosphere of the time, the campaigns fought by Hamlet's father in Fortinbras too. All of these images we need to pay close attention to be able to use them and use the detail from them when we're talking about how Shakespeare creates and develops a scheme of imagery within his plays.
That concludes our 9th episode. We hope that this analysis of the symbolism and imagery used by Shakespeare has given you a deeper understanding of their purpose and equipped you with lots of great ideas and phrases that you can use in your essays. Once again, if you enjoyed this, we would really encourage that you check out Peter's YouTube channel, Mr. Tobin Leaving Cert English, which is linked in the description. Trust us when we say this is an incredible free resource for 5th and 6th year students. And we hope you stay tuned for more content like this.